the news was huge on Wednesday. And when I was looking through the details of it during yesterday morning's prep for the show, I couldn't really dive into it because we had the diner tour, which was fantastic in Bridgeport. But I wanted to talk about the state inspector general's recent report that was released, and it all surrounds the ambush attack that killed two Bristol police officers in 2022, Lieutenant Dustin DeMonte and Sergeant Alex Hamsey. You know, this report came 18 months after what happened, and I call it one of Connecticut's worst, I'm going to call it law enforcement tragedies, but certainly one of its worst, most recent tragedies. This was really something that certainly made national news, but right here in Connecticut, it really rocked not just Bristol, but the entire state. And this 66-page report, there's a lot that's in it. And so I was chatting with Gary McNamara, who's our law enforcement expert. I know he had just come on the show earlier this week, but I said, this is huge. We've waited for this. And man, it's a lot that's in there. And he's been combing through the language for really the last 48 hours. And I wanted to get his takeaways from it. So Gary agreed to come back on the show this week instead of pushing it to next week. And I'm so grateful for that. Gary McNamara, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks, Melissa. Yeah, twice in 1 week. I am special.
Well, you know, you are special. You are a very important resource here to the morning show. But this is certainly, I mean, look, the news calls for you to be coming on. And
yeah.
This is one of those stories where, yes, we could have waited. But to me, if I could have talked about it yesterday, I would have. I just, unfortunately, we had the diner tour, not unfortunately, but I couldn't talk about it then. And so I'm really grateful that you could be here. Again, this was 18 months after the horrific tragedy. Lieutenant Dustin DeMonte, Sergeant Alex Hamsey, and Officer Alec Iorato, they had gone to a home where they had heard about some kind of dispute going on between Nicholas Brutcher and a family member. We've heard the 911 calls, and it was an ambush attack. And the 66-page report really outlines a lot in there, Gary. What can you start with this morning to share with our listeners?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's a hard read. And, you know, and you kind of summed it up right, why it's important to dive into it a little bit. Because it took our attention, you know, when those officers were killed, and it should, rightfully so, but it's important to kind of understand really all that happened so that, number one, we can really recognize the sacrifice the officers made, the heroism that one officer took with eliminating the threat, and at the same time trying to understand why it happened and how it happened and why, you know, people turned to violence. So it's important to kind of have that discussion. It's quite lengthy. I've been asked a couple times about why do you think it took so long, but if you really look at it, to do a thorough report, you have to do a thorough investigation, and they did, you know, right down to cell phone analysis, which takes time. So they didn't have access to the cell phones until sometime towards the end of 2023. So if you can't really get a good cell phone analysis, it's hard to complete a full report. So I think we should all appreciate the fact that they didn't want to rush the report. At the same time, wanted to do a thorough report.
Well, and it's interesting too, Gary. I'm glad that you said that because I know that sometimes, you know, when you look at a tragedy like this, it's not like if this report was released a year ago or anything like that to the public that these officers were going to come back. The reality set in that this tragedy happened, and really, I would imagine, and I don't know if you could speak to this, I would imagine the families of DeMonte and Hamsey and Iorato, I would imagine they had been kept in the loop in some regard more than the public, certainly. But like, they're the ones who I would want to know had the details. And like you said, this was a very, very lengthy investigation. In fact, the report, the 66-page report, is kind of broken up into four different parts of really what led up to that night and then what actually went through that night. But do you have any insight, Gary? Did the families who directly, again, were impacted, not even just the Bristol police, but specifically DeMonte, Hamsey, and Iorato's family, would they have been at least in the loop with this investigation, you know, even though the public wasn't? Were they at least somewhat, do you think, in the loop on this? They didn't have to wait 18 months. I don't know.
No, I mean, they, you know, they understand the full tragedy and the details that are only slightly outlined in here. So they certainly would be kept in the loop as far as what happened, how it evolved. And then at the same time, the investigators are going to be conscious of the fact that before the report is released, they're going to want to make sure that the family has an opportunity to understand what's going to be released. Because this is going to open up all those. I don't think they're ever going to heal from it, tragically, but it is going to certainly open up. And it's going to have people talk about it more. We're talking about it. Other people are talking about it, rightfully so. But it's going to bring up that again. So they would be kept in the loop. And they were not left in the dark as to what exactly happened, how it happened, why it happened, at least initially, and how their loved ones died.
It's a really painful report. I couldn't agree with you more, Gary, when I was looking through the language of it and you're hearing and reading some of the quotations, for example, by the suspect, Nicholas Brutcher. It's gruesome. And the details are just very brutal. I don't really want to, I guess, outline those because I think if people want to go and read the report, you can. I don't really want to share it on the air. I think out of respect for the families, for the Bristol police, and really just respect for the legacy of these officers, I don't think we need to glorify this guy and what was done. But I would love to get your take on some key, I would say, parts of the report you feel glad have now been made public about this tragedy in 2022.
Well, I think there was a lot of questions when it first happened of whether or not anybody else was involved and whether or not, I mean, let's set the stage. There are two brothers. Earlier in the evening, they're at a bar. They get into an altercation. Officers respond to that report, and they ultimately stop a motor vehicle containing the two brothers in it who had just left the bar. Both intoxicated. They can't drive home, so they have to make arrangements to get a ride for the two individuals home, and they tow the vehicle. And so those officers engaged in the traffic stop doing an investigation into the argument at the bar, ultimately clear the scene. A family member comes and picks up the brothers and brings them home. There's a lot of details in there of what the individuals were saying to the family members, which is important to understand. Because if you take away the fact of how, first of all, let me back up a second. The reason for the investigation is because the inspector general has an obligation, even though we know it's pretty clear and obvious the officer used was justified in using a deadly force.
You're talking Alec Iorato. You still, exactly. As soon as there's an officer involved, so yes. And I'm glad you said that, Gary, because sometimes people wonder, well, of course it was justified. Right. But, you know, by law, that is what the inspector general has to do. If you have an officer that's involved right. shooting, you still have to either clear it as being justified or not. So that's why that part of the report needed to be released. Sorry, go on.
No, that's right. And they don't want to cut corners. They want to make sure that they do a thorough investigation, which
right.
they should, even
They're
though
doing
we
their
know.
Job. Yep.
Exactly. So though they clear the scene, but in that report and in those interactions, hopefully we can glean a lot of how it came from a fight at a bar to actually two officers being murdered, another one being shot, and ultimately how this incident happened. So they clear the scene. A family member picks up someone, picks up the two brothers, brings them home. And then there's a lot of detail, even though it might be brief, but there's detail in there on what happened when they got home and how this starts to set the stage for what ultimately is going to be a tragic ambush of police officers.
We respect the report and are very happy to see that it was as comprehensive as it was.
I think what we learned was supporting each other from a standpoint of camaraderie, being there to support each other when we had such an impact to our agency and our community.
You're hearing from both Bristol's mayor and new police chief this week after the 66-page Inspector General report was released following the ambush attack that killed two Bristol police officers in 2022, Lieutenant Dustin DeMonte and Sergeant Alex Hamsey. And we have our law enforcement expert on the morning show, former chief of police in Fairfield, Gary McNamara, currently in charge of security over at Sacred Heart University. Gary, obviously we're talking about some of the key takeaways, and I I would love to also incorporate in this conversation sort of moving forward. When you look at a report like this, I want to make it very clear that obviously it's kind of filling the gaps, if you will, from a news standpoint. But this was not released to, again, bring more pain to a very hurt community and family of not just these police officers, but really the entire law enforcement, I'd say, body of people. And it wasn't really to bring drama, right? I mean, this isn't, they don't release these reports so that we can have something to gossip or talk about. I think there's also a lot to be learning and hopefully to incorporate moving forward so we can avoid something like this happening again. So I'd love for you to share sort of your insight into what you got out of this 66-page report, and what you'd like people to think about when you hear more about it.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because you're absolutely right. It's a report that's released, and we should be looking at it the way we are to find out what we can learn from it. And I'll throw these out there. We can talk about them. First of all, it may have been prevented, and the reason it may have been prevented, in the report we know that family discussions were being had, even though they were brief, that indicated that the family members knew that he was putting on armor. He was putting on camouflage, and he was going to call the cops. Now, they didn't get into detail whether or not he said he was going to ambush them, but obviously the action he was taking, if the officers had been notified of that, they could have taken a different approach. So that's important to note, that you said see something, say something. That's the first thing. The second thing is the violence was directed towards the cops, and it wasn't the cops that responded to that initial traffic stop.
Right.
These were other officers that responded to that. And we talk about family violence, and we talk about emotional wellness and anger. Anger oftentimes isn't initially involving the cops, but it becomes directed at them. And
so,
that traffic stop. Go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, Gary, not to interrupt you, but that was a question I had. So when I'm reading the report, you know, not to give the exact language, but during that traffic stop, Nicholas Brutcher is quoted multiple times. And there's actually surveillance video, or I think it was body camera footage that also came out of the report. And he was threatening officers right then and there at the traffic stop. He was totally belligerent, but he said, you know, I want to hurt you so bad. It was something to the effect of, I want to hurt you, I want to attack you, I want to punch you. I don't remember what it was, but he was literally making physical threats to the officers during that traffic stop. Here's my question. When something like that happens, do police go back and say, hey, just so you know, if you, like, almost flagging a red flag, like, we just pulled over these people, they were nuts. So if you get a call from this residence or you get a call from this person, please let us know, because this just happened in the field? Or like, does any of that happen when, even if it involves people who are drunk, does that happen at the police department?
Yeah, it does. Information will be exchanged. I think that, you know, first of all, drunk people having anger towards cops and saying, I want to hurt you is unfortunately not an uncommon thing. And so by the time they go back and write reports and get that information exchanged, it certainly wouldn't have, or might not have risen to that level where they think that we have the ability of hindsight. We know what happened after this, but the officers didn't. The officers in the traffic stop didn't. They're trying to kind of de-escalate a scene. There's a couple of drunk brothers who got in a fight with each other. Let's have a family member come pick them up and we'll just resolve the incident. And even though there was the little back and forth and little argumentative things, it may or may not have risen to that point where it says, hey, just be on alert that this guy is, because it was, but it wasn't to the level where somebody would put two and two together that there was going to be an ambush.
Right. The reason I ask it, though, Gary, is because so when the mom picks up the boys and drops them off, you know, you've got two brothers. We find out, obviously, later, which nobody knew until this inspector report. Nicholas's brother, who also was hurt in this whole thing, we're not even sure if anything is going to happen with him, because he was going through his own trauma of his ex-girlfriend or something, with a friend of his having a baby. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff that's in the report. But what I'm getting at is, you know, while, as you were just saying, there were things clearly going on in the home that were proving Nicholas had something in his mind that was not going to be good. But, you know, the only one I think who was with him was the brother, who was totally, you know, also drunk. and not making good decisions either. So that's why I was asking, like, if there's something that police are seeing, you know, do you bypass going through the whole report and just even creating like a red alert, you know, in the next 24 hours before this report comes out, if you get any calls from this, you know, family or from these addresses, you know, this needs to be called something, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, well, if it had risen to that level, they certainly do. We have the ability to do that.
Okay.
And now we, you know, hindsight being what it is, now you could say, boy, if they had done that, sure. But it didn't rise to that level.
Yeah, not blaming police. I'm just thinking
backup
plans. Yeah.
Exactly.
Backup plans.
I know that.
Yeah.
More importantly is when the brother goes to the mother, it's alleged the brother goes to the mother, the surviving brother, and says, hey, you know, he's going to call the cops. He's putting on body armor and camouflage. He's going to call the cops, and everybody in the household just dismissed it, and they went on their way. That's a key component. A couple other things. We talk about the violence of the cops. It all turns to that, and he hyper-focused on the police officers after that traffic stop. The other key component in this that we want to learn from is the FBI behavioral unit that does an analysis of his background, why the violence occurred, what was going on that may have caused him to escalate into this direction. We know people don't snap when it comes to this violence, or generally don't snap, that it's built upon and built upon and built upon. And so that's an important component. The other two things that I have a takeaway is the heroic actions of Officer Iorato. And we knew it that day. We knew it in the reports that had come out early on. But when you start to really realize that this officer and those three officers went there, this is a sudden, surprise, violent attack on these three officers. And to have Officer Iorato, who was wounded himself, make the decisions he did and take the action he did, we cannot lose sight of that heroic effort while he's watching fellow officers being murdered. You can't express that. And then the final thing, Melissa, it's really important, is that the family members of the officers that were killed, they're going to read these reports and feel it. All family members of officers feel this because they get worried about it. And so mm-hmm. they're going to look at this. We have to understand that anything that happens to one police officer and their family happens to all police officers.
Correct.
And their families. And we have to remember that. And so that's what I take away from it.
I agree. I think that's a huge thing, and really the importance of, I know Connecticut is trying, but I know it kind of comes down municipality to municipality, the importance of things like even this report. If your police department is not, or even fire department, EMS, if they're not practicing PTSD or have programs in place, I know a lot of them do, this would be, to me, a report that certainly is going to trigger a lot of people, but especially if they are in law enforcement or are family members of law enforcement. And so it's also important to recognize that and the importance of having counselors on hand or programs on hand to make sure that they are in a secure place, because there's a lot in this 66-page report. And I know we only scratched the surface on it, but Gary, I do want to again thank you so much for coming back on the show with such short notice and only having really a day and a half to go through this very massive document. Certainly, we will continue to follow this, and I appreciate you being with us to give us this kind of insight. It's really helpful.
Yeah, thank you very much, Melissa. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Gary McNamara on WICC.